Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, Delon, we're going to start with a controversial, spicy topic.
Okay.
Is it biopic or biopic? Does she know? My brain just... Is it biopic or biopic?
It's brain breaking. It really is.
Yeah, trying to say it the wrong way, I'll say it. Trying to say it the wrong way is hurting me. What do you think it is?
I really do think it's... I mean, I always thought it was biopic because it's a combination of two words, biographical and picture. Because I mean, biopic sounds like an ointment like you'd see advertised on like, you know, daytime TV. Like, a biopic, it may cause a skin rash, diarrhea, and your pelvic floor to fall out, but, you know, your teeth will be white.
What is that voice? Okay, no, it's... I think it's biopic. Because biopic sounds like a multiple choice selection on a biology test or like a fancy microscope that takes a picture of whatever you put in it. Your face is telling me...
No. My face is actually saying, like, I've never thought about that. Absolutely. It's spot on.
Yeah, and I was like, what?
My face was also saying, like, that was something that Kodak should have invented.
Listen.
Hate to call back to that, but...
Look at you taking different... topics from our podcast and putting them together. I guess it's truly a tomato-tomato situation. Personally, I just love when you combine two words to make a new word. It just like scratches a special part of my brain.
Girl, you're speaking my nerdy language. Like, what is that called?
It's called a portmanteau.
Oh.
I think that's how you
say it.
Some people incorrectly say pun, which is just like a play on words. But when you put the two words together, it's a portmanteau. I think I looked up what it meant. It's something about like a suitcase, something about being able to put lots of things together and have more space. I don't have exactly what the explanation is, but two words, put them together.
A portmanteau. It sounds like a poor man's toe. A poor man's toe. A rich man's toe can afford the rest of the word and just call it a biographical picture, but a poor man's toe.
I guess so. Okay. I don't want to get on my word girl soapbox because you know she's a writer. But I think it's really funny that we use portmanteaus all the time in English. Like spork is one that you've probably...
A spork, yes. A spoon and a fork. Totally.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them. Nair. Did you know Nair was a...
No.
No hair. Nair.
Look at these marketing people. That's kind of brilliant.
I know. Okay. Then there's a bunch for like manly stuff like mansplaining and metrosexual and manscaping. And then, which is also so sad because it's like, men, you're the problem. We need to like make these special words for you.
We clearly do because you're a small being who has no like backbone. I don't know.
Yeah, like your fragility is gonna fall apart if you... I don't know, like
if you
shave your pits. I don't
or like
know.
Wear a tight jean.
Right. Okay. Wait. Do you remember when they were talking about the romp him?
It was... Oh my god, these people. Here's the thing, like some, like it just goes too far, right? Is romper, is that even a portmanteau?
No, romper is just like a clothing item, but they were like, we got to make it a romp him, which I don't know.
Oh my God, I can't. What is the, oh, faux hawk.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That made me think of that.
Yes, a fake faux hawk, a fake mohawk. Then there's also, this was one I didn't realize, Velcro is velvet and crochet.
Oh, wow, because Velcro is...
I guess, I guess that's like, yeah. Isn't that so interesting?
Oh, see, see, some of them are like awe-inspiring. You're like, oh God, good job, humans. And other ones, you're like, romp him. And you're like, shut the fuck up. Sit down, get out of here.
Okay, wait. I have a little portmanteau that I really want to take off. So maybe you can help me get it off the ground. It's never worked. I haven't gotten anyone to use it yet.
Okay, I'm ready. What is it? I'm already laughing. I'm already laughing.
Okay. It's procrastinate. It's when you've got a deadline, but instead of getting to it, you just, you know, rub one out, get to it yourself.
Yeah. Or it's for me, it's like cleaning and then I do laundry and then I'll like, and then I'll jerk off to avoid all the things that I'm supposed to be doing.
I'm always like, I have a deadline, but I could just squeeze this one thing in before I get to work.
And then you're like, and then you take a 30 minute nap preceding it. And you're like, oh, okay. Well,
yes. Oh, I'm so glad that I could bless you with that and that you're on board.
Yeah, no, I'm ready. Ooh, wait, wait. No, no, no.
Listen, listen.
Listen.
Listen. Wait, wait, wait.
I hate you for that.
Let me fix it.
Welcome back to Let Me Fix It, the podcast where we go back in time and do our best to right history's wrongs. I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And today on Let Me Fix It, we dug into the biopic of it all. And we're thinking, who deserves a movie version of their life that doesn't have one yet? We're digging into the life and of icon and Hollywood legend that absolutely deserves her own biopic, Miss Eartha Kitt, today.
Oh my God, she absolutely deserves one. If not for the iconic memes alone, my favorite clip of her is when the interviewer is asking her about compromising for a man and she just starts cackling.
Oh, in his face, like in dead ass in his face.
If a man came into your life, wouldn't you want to compromise?
Stupid. A man comes into my life and I have to compromise? You must think about that one again.
Why would you even fucking ask me that? Honestly, I want to know what led up to that moment. I want to know all of the things that were inspiring it, because you know some drama was behind that cackle.
Absolutely.
She absolutely deserves a life, a movie of her life.
And I'm kind of mad, honestly, that one hasn't been produced yet. Mm-hmm. So who better to figure it out than us?
Yes.
Let's dive into the life of the one and only Eartha Kitt. So Eartha Mae Keith was born in a small town. It's called North South Carolina, a little confusing, but she was born in North South Carolina on January 17th, 1927.
Oh my God, wait, I have to jump in. North South Carolina is so confusing.
It's so backward.
Never heard of that before. But then also Eartha Keith.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So
yeah.
And her last name Keith wasn't actually a purposeful alteration to Kit. Mm. It was just the product of the way Southerners pronounced Keith, which is interesting.
Oh, that's so weird.
And
wow.
I have an Uncle Keith, or had an Uncle Keith, may he rest. And my grandmother's originally from North Carolina, and I'm from Providence, so we have our own accents that I, you know, paid a lot of money to get rid of. We called my Uncle Keith Uncle Keat. Like, it was like K-I-T. Uncle Keith.
Oh, wow.
It was just a way of shortening it.
So you're basically Eartha Kitt's cousin.
Kinda. Give me the
money.
Put
him in the movie.
Okay. He's an actor, bitch. So the interesting and sad thing is Eartha knew nothing of her father, save for the fact that he was white and that she was probably conceived by rape, which is a hard start to your life. She was told as a child that she was the son of the farm owner's son, and her mother was a sharecropper on this farm.
Okay, interesting. So, you know, in our researching, we found an interview promoting her 1976 autobiography where she recounted how her mother gave her away to another sharecropping family to care for her at the age of around 5 or 6 because the man her mother wanted to marry told her, "Ooh, I don't want that yellow gal in my house."
Crazy.
Lord, because she was mixed, black and white. This is one of the first times that Eartha experienced colorism. And in that interview, she said, "Being the wrong color, you're not wanted by the blacks, and the whites couldn't care less." And in her new household, she was physically and sexually abused and eventually treated, as she recounts, as a work mule by the family. Lord, what a...
God. And I mean, to start that way and then be the success and the icon she was, man.
Oh my God. I mean, just truly a triumph. So she eventually went to live with her mother's sister, Aunt Mammy, in Harlem, New York. And according to Eartha Kitt, her aunt's reasoning for bringing her to New York was a sense of charity. I think that she brought me up north out of a Christian duty because she got a letter from the South that told her if I wasn't taken from this family, that they would either starve me to death or beat me to death or work me to death. And therefore, she decided to take me on and to New York, but she wasn't any better. She was also abusing me. Lord, I just like, this is heartbreaking. And I genuinely was not, I mean, I guess maybe you should know just considering the time period.
Right, right.
But to like hear it laid out is really heartbreaking. So to get away from her aunt, she remembered constantly running away and she would ride the subway all night long. And according to her, from one end of Manhattan to the other until daybreak. Wow.
Man, I mean, gosh, I mean, what a way to start this, but like talking about this epic woman in like such a sad way. But again, it does, it like, it's heroism, right?
Rags to riches.
The actual definition. I watched this really raw interview in our research, and it had me in tears. This terrible interviewer, a television host named Terry Wogan from a bygone era, is trying to pin Eartha down as this sultry, tawdry tease of a woman. And he asks her if she thinks the reason she's extroverted and looking for attention is because she's looking for affection.
Lord.
She, in the true Eartha Kitt form, responds with the duality of her persona. She says, I'm not an extrovert. I can tease as Eartha Kitt, but it's Eartha Mae. Forget it. She then goes on to talk about being an ugly duckling. She's like, that little ugly duckling was always told she was an ugly duckling. Nobody wants you. And she's just trying so hard to find somebody that says, Eartha Mae, it's all right. You're wanted too. But she keeps hoping. I'm like, wow. Oh man.
It's so wild when like someone who's known as beautiful and known as a sex symbol says like, I've never felt pretty. It's just like this mind fuck of like the patriarchy comes for all of us. Even the person who you're like, you're beautiful and successful. They're like, I'm ugly.
Like, you're like the definition of it, right? Actually, you are literally the poster.
You are the sex symbol, like iconic goddess. And again, that doesn't negate how she feels about her or has ever felt about herself, but it really puts into perspective that this is something that we're all struggling with.
And, you know, I hope, I would think and hope that it would give us a sense of solace and that we're not alone. But like, I mean, life is, you know, life is solitude in so many ways.
Yeah,
and your own psyche. I'm going to talk about this interviewer again because he really made me mad. He goes on to ask her if she's ever been shown love by a man. And she, again, Eartha fashion, slays him with the truth. She pauses, thinks, and then she says, a man has always wanted to lay me down, but he never wanted to pick me up.
Ooh.
And the men that did have real love and affection for me were the ones that never touched me.
Wow.
I mean,
so the straights ain't fucking with you, but the gays, they are.
Okay. Talk about it, though. Talk about
tale
it.
Tale as old as time.
She said, tale as old as time. It's so true. It's so true.
Wow.
I just want to reflect on her giving us proverbs left and right all the time and how, you know, men are trash. But I live and die by that quote. Like, a man has always wanted to lay me down, but never wanted to pick me up. Like, that is so real, right?
It's so real.
It cuts to the truth of it. It cuts to her truth. I mean, I live and die by that, girl.
And sadly, a universal experience and truly like a great encapsulation of how smart she was, how honest and how biting she could be, and that she knew herself and her self-worth in the face of Hollywood, white America, and the patriarchy telling her otherwise. And that is incredibly inspiring.
I mean, and fucking iconic. And to your point about Hollywood, the other thing I wanted to unpack is when she talks about the duality of her personas, about being Eartha Kitt and Eartha Mae, I think actors fall into this a lot, and I'm totally biased, but I think we run into Hollywood putting you in your lane. Yeah. You play certain types of characters, right? Like Sandra Bullock is the funny ingenue. Will Smith is the heroic father. Tom Cruise, the
Scientologist who's brainwash us. Oh, wait, sorry.
Will Smith too, but if we want to talk about it.
Okay? Let's be real.
But like, you may try to break out of that lane that Hollywood puts you in, but they tend to keep you in a box. Mm-hmm. And please speak up, because I don't have a vagina, but women, I think, often fall into this. Yeah. And it happens so much more about you all being sexualized. Yeah. And then when you try to kind of take some agency around that sexuality, that lane you've been put in, they label you sexy, tawdry, tease, loose woman, because you're then employing your sexuality. And Eartha Kitt was employing her sexuality. She was playing the box that they put her in and just trying to cash a check. You know, she was leaning into the check.
No, you're so right. It's very much like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, right. If you're, and you know, like, we all, to your point, like, play the roles that we're given, and you can either use it to your advantage or you get stuck in it. But it is that dichotomy for women, especially, where like, if you're ugly, like, everyone's going to shit on you. But if you're pretty, then everyone's going to shit on you. But like, if you're pretty, you can't know you're pretty. Because yes. Like,
play it down.
Like, how dare you like yourself, right? Ooh. But then if you're ugly and you like yourself, people are like, you're ugly. Shut up. You can't think you're hot. It's like, what do you want from me?
It's so funny. I mean, this is slightly related, but the you posted something on social and then you reposted something to me like, and you're bald. And you were like, okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I am bald. Yeah, it is again like the bald thing, or the like you're too sexy thing, or you have a bad body, or you're fat, or whatever it is. It's like you can't be anything outside of like society standards. And if you do fit in society standards, somebody's going to shame you for it. Right. And so it's all the more reason to just, again, it's easier said than done. Just like do what it is you're going to fucking do, because it's never. And then like add on to it, the Eartha Kitts of the world. If you embody multiple marginalized identities, don't you dare be black and like yourself.
Yo.
Don't fucking start.
For real. Do you know
don't
where you
do that?
I talk about being put in a box and being put in, right?
Yeah, it's just like,
we're allowing you to be at the table. Thank you.
Hello. And it's really that thing of like society really saying like, if I think less of you, you're not allowed to like yourself. Mm. You're fat, so you got to hate yourself. And then a fat girl wears a crop top and people lose their fucking minds. It's like people are allowed to like themselves even if you don't like them.
Well, and there's Fran, you're hitting on the nail on the head there. It's that you don't like you. Mm-hmm. And so you're judging somebody else for liking themselves. Like that is the real psychology of it. We are only scratching the surface here, friends. Before we dig into the professional career of this icon and why she has an icon status, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. I want to talk about why Eartha Kitt is an icon. She's one of the few artists whose career spans almost all performance disciplines. It feels like the only thing she doesn't do is play an instrument. I mean, she might. Who knew? She might have.
Yeah. I mean, she really was one of the few artists that was doing theater, TV, film, music, cabaret, and was nominated for almost all of the major awards. She was nominated for 3 Tony Awards, 2 Grammy Awards, 2 Emmys. Truly the definition of a versatile American treasure. And she got her first professional break in 1943 when, on a dare, now that this is killing me, she auditioned and earned a spot on the Katharine Dunham dance troupe. Before the age of 20, Kitt had traveled the world with the troupe as a dancer and vocalist. While in Paris, she was spotted by a nightclub owner and hired as a featured singer at the club. This is truly like, this is a movie, right? And they're like, I dare you to join that dance troupe.
And like the rest of it writes itself. You know what I mean? Also, like,
come on.
This stuff doesn't happen anymore. Like, no. You know, just being tripping over a career. Like, that's so crazy.
Nobody wants to watch a movie about how you went viral on Instagram and then you got a movie deal, you know?
Right.
So she's in Paris. She's spotted by a nightclub owner and was hired as a feature singer at the club. The famed director, Orson Welles, first saw her performing in that Parisian nightclub, and he was thoroughly taken by her, so he cast her as Helen of Troy in his film Dr. Faustus in 1950. He would later go on to call her the most exciting woman in the world. God that, damn. Like, I need somebody to say that about me.
You know, I'm so conflicted by this quote. Like, I love that. Like, mm-hmm. I love that he saw that about her. But the patriarchy of it all, right? The idea that this white man had to give her value. But it's...
But also casting her as Helen of Troy. Like, look at you colorblind casting.
In 1950?
Like, come on, let's go.
Orson Welles was ahead of his time.
Listen, and you know we're not about to be handing out cookies to white men on this show.
But at the same time,
like, that is a big freaking deal.
It's huge. It's huge. And it makes me want to go watch Dr. Faustus now. I probably will fall asleep, but I'm going to. So 2 years after Dr. Faustus, she was cast on Broadway in a musical revue called New Faces of 1952, alongside the legendary writer, producer, Mel Brooks. Mel Brooks was an actor at the time.
Oh, wow.
The revue became a film in 1954, which was when she first recorded the iconic song Santa Baby.
Which I had no idea.
She was the first person to record that. No idea.
Wow.
And then Columbus
by Maryland.
Absolutely. I love that that's a fucking verb. Columbus by Maryland. Totally. So she recorded Santa Baby, and that song would be synonymous with her and her career for the rest of her life. The notoriety of Broadway actually landed her a recording contract. Mm. I didn't know this, or I thought this was really amazing. She evidently sang in upwards of 10 different languages throughout her life and career. She spoke French and German fluently, and she learned that from her travels. Just some other really quick theater bullet points for her. Her next big Broadway show was Miss Patterson, and she received her first Tony Award nomination with that show. And then she had a string of movies with some of the amazing stars of her day. Mark of the Hawk was with Sidney Poitier. Anna Locusta was with Sammy Davis Jr. St. Louis Blues with Nat King Cole. That fine daddy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she had a string of handsome co-stars.
And they never touched her, okay? I know. The role that she would be most remembered for is obviously... Catwoman. She played Catwoman in the TV series Batman. She replaced Julie Newmar, but it was Kitt's signature growl that made the role forever synonymous with her.
Oh, wow. Okay, wait. So isn't Julie Newmar's name from the Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar?
Exactly. Thank you for the reference. I didn't think many people would get it, but I'm so glad that you pulled that out. Yep.
Oh my God, I really did. But also, I'm just thinking, poor Julie Newmar. She's been reduced to a movie title because she got replaced in this role. I think of Eartha Kitt as Catwoman, but to know that she replaced somebody else and then became like the face of Catwoman, that really speaks to her talent.
I would say like that is always the move. Like if you're replacing somebody, like don't feel like you're second fiddle. Put mm-hmm. your own stamp on it. Add a growl, girl. Add a growl and it'll change the whole thing.
Oh my God. Well, and you know, this is really interesting because you kind of had a similar situation where you replaced a character on Broadway and like, really, you know, and no shade to the guy you replaced, he's very talented, but you really made the role your own. And I remember when you got the part, you were like, I don't know, like
yeah,
kind of having a little of those inadequacy feelings of like, I'm stepping into someone else's shoes. So look at you and Eartha, you got a lot in common, Delon.
Basically, you're saying that I'm going to get 2 Tony nominations, 2 Grammy nominations, and 2 Emmy nominations.
Listen, put it in the universe.
This also just goes to a testament to like who we are as people mm-hmm. and how similar we are. I've now had 2 thoughts that I didn't say, and you said them. The Julie Newmar one and my Broadway credit replacing. Like, you brought that up,
God,
and I did not.
Delon, step into your power. Add a little grrr. Anytime you think about saying something and you don't want to say it, just get that Eartha Kitt growl in you. And then just say it. That, not like that. That sounded like you were drooling.
I might have been.
All right. Well, back to Eartha. I found this really interesting. In 1968, she was blacklisted in the U.S. Wow. for speaking out against the Vietnam War at a luncheon with the First Lady, Lady Bird Johnson. Also, First Lady named Lady, you're doing a little bit too much, a little okay. on the nose for okay. me. So because of that, Eartha Kitt had to work abroad until 1974 when she was able to book a return concert at Carnegie Hall. I mean, truly just like really, again, speaks to knowing yourself. The fact that speaking out against Vietnam could get you blacklisted.
Crazy.
In hindsight, it's like, no, Vietnam was a bad idea.
It was a terrible idea.
We had no business fucking being over there. And it hurt her career so much so that she, you know, had to leave the country. She also went on to write several books, 2 of which were autobiographies. I guess when you've lived as many lives as that little kitty has, 2 autobodies. You know, I'm going to try and make a portmanteau yeah, here and it's not fucking yeah. working. 2 autobios are warranted. I mean, I tried.
I'm proud of you for trying. I give you that.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. But Delon, what we're really here to unpack is why this titan of live performance, TV and culture in general doesn't have a biopic.
Come on.
So we're about to dig into who we would cast as Eartha Kitt if she was to take to the big screen right after this message. So we will be right back.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back. It's time for the fix. Let me fix it.
Let me fix it.
In this episode, we're going to talk about, you know, a biopic for Miss Eartha Kitt. Delon, who would you cast to play her?
Ooh, well, let's first say this. We should mention that according to IMDb.com, a biopic of sorts has been in the works. Mm-hmm. IMDb says there it's in pre-production. It's called C'est si bon. I don't speak French, but it means it is so good in French. And I just want to say what it's characterized as on IMDb so that we make sure we're getting that in. It's a filmic choreo poem, a journey through the life of Eartha Kitt, one of the truly global stars of the last century. Eartha Kitt, C'est si bon follows Eartha's life from her earliest days through her death. The major events which shaped her unique character are addressed in a presentation which focuses on Eartha's inimitable artistic expressiveness. Ooh. Somewhat vague, but I guess I'm ready for it.
Yeah. Okay. And they have cast an actress named Ashley Olivia Jones as Eartha, but that is not going to stop us from doing what we do here on Let Me Fix It. We're still going to do our fan casting.
Girl, we about to fix it anyway.
Let's hear it.
My fix is a Broadway actress that many people might not know. Her name is Rebecca Naomi Jones. She is best known for her work in the Tony Award-winning musical Passing Strange, which was, I forget what year that came out, but it was tectonic plate shifting for me. It was the first time I saw Black people tell you know, our connection about being Black kids in a very white place, having that experience. It's very that. And so it, you know, you can watch it on Netflix if you'd like. But she was also in the last revival of Oklahoma that was on Broadway in the pre-pandemic.
Oh, I saw that.
You did, right? Which was weird, but you liked it, didn't you?
I liked it. It was weird, but I liked it.
I fucking loved it. She played Lori, so she was the female lead.
Oh, okay.
So she's my first choice because not only is she a live performer, which I think is so important first and foremost, with playing someone like Eartha Kitt, but she's also a transformative actor. And I think you have to, I don't know, when you're playing somebody that's, you know, we all know, we can run back the tape and look at her movies, look at her TV shows, look at her interviews. You have to kind of be transformative. You have to be able to transform into that person. So Rebecca Naomi Jones, you are my Eartha. Who's your pick, Fran?
Okay, so this is kind of a wild pitch, but I'm going to say Kiki Palmer. Hear me out. I know she's not mixed race, but Hollywood loves casting mixed girls in roles where they clearly have two Black parents. So why not switch it up and let one of us play a mixed girl?
Talk about it. Talk about it.
Okay, that is the future that this liberal wants. Hello. Okay, so here's the thing. I think that Kiki has the sex appeal, but she's also mischievous and bold in a way that feels like Eartha, and she can sing and she can do lots of voices. Yes. So I feel like she would really nail the Eartha iconic snarl. And I just feel like she would do a good job with that.
I like that choice. I also like that choice because Kiki Palmer is such a force, a personality. Yeah. And I would love to see her. And she plays herself really well. She does comedy really well. I would love to see her play something that play someone that is grounded, that requires her to do some
give us drama.
Yeah.
We know she's funny, but you can always tell because she's so quick on her feet.
Yes.
You can tell she could give us real drama and range.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ready for Kiki to step into her like future EGOT status. Like I kind of can't believe it hasn't happened for her yet, but she is just so talented and she deserves all of the awards. I also want to just say this, we didn't talk about this, but I also think like an Eartha Kitt, like Fenty lingerie collab could be really cool.
Ooh, that is brilliant.
Right?
Rihanna, are you listening? Papa, can you hear me?
See, like, and they could be like kitty themed, like cats or something, or like,
and you can like do a throwback thing where like it's like feathery and bowy. Yes. It's like for like a certain section of the collection, right?
Yeah. Mm. I just feel like it would be, and even like a little leather cat mask or something.
Yes. Ooh, like add a little BDSM to it.
Yes. Give us a little Eyes Wide Shut kind of moment with Eartha. I just feel like that would be very sexy.
I think it's very smart.
All right. So now it is time for our very favorite segment, the Glow Up. This is where we shout out those who have turned themselves around without our help. Are you okay with me going first?
Yeah. Well, dig in.
Okay. So my glow up goes to Rebecca Black. Do you remember Rebecca Black?
No.
Do you remember that music video Friday that everybody was making fun of in like 2011? It's Friday. And it was like this girl with dark hair. You don't remember this?
I don't remember any of this. No.
Oh my God. Okay. So this was a music video that went super viral in 2011. And it was highly received as negative. It was parodied by all these different artists. It amassed like 167 million views.
Wow.
And was being made fun of by like Tosh.0 and like Comedy Central. Like all these people were making fun of this video, and it was starring a 13-year-old girl named Rebecca Black. It was made by this studio called Arc Factory or something like that, where basically like you could pay money and this guy would write you a song and you could make a music video.
Mm.
It was all kids. It was all children. But for whatever reason, this song went super viral and it was just bad. The song was not good. Mm-hmm. It was cheesy. We should put a clip of the song in here. I feel like if you hear the song, you might remember it. 7 a.m. waking up in the morning. Gotta be fresh. Gotta go
go downstairs. Gotta have my bowl, gotta have cereal. Seeing everything, the time is going. Ticking on and on, everybody's rushing. Gotta get down to the bus stop. Gotta catch my bus.
But I think what's really interesting is this girl was bullied so heavily as a child. I mean, she was only 13 years old. And now here we are. She's actually released her first studio album at age of 26. And it's actually gotten some critical praise. Like, people are really into this. It kind of has like an electro pop sound, kind of like a Charlie XCX. So it's like sing talking. Like, not, yeah, she's not giving you vocals.
That's the way of pop music these days, right?
Listen, I'm not mad at her. You know, she said, y'all are going to talk shit about me, but I'm not going out without a fight. And she actually, this summer, has been opening for Blackpink, which is like a huge K-pop group.
Good for her.
I know. I just think that's so cool. And it's so interesting because we talk so much about like positivity and, you know, bullying is bad. But in 2011, everybody was okay with bullying this little girl. She was 13 years old and she just became a huge meme. I mean, everybody was doing parodies. Everybody was making fun of her. And she had a big dispute with the record company that made the song because she wasn't making money off of it.
It
did 167 million views. And, you know, she didn't upload the video. The people from the record, whoever made the record, uploaded it. And so it's just so cool that she didn't get discouraged. And right. She still said, I'm going to, you know, try my hand at it. And she's really built a lane for herself. And I just think that that's really cool.
You know what's really, you made me think of something when you were talking about bullying, the bullying of it all. I think there's, you know, bullying is obviously terrible. I don't say this all the time. I don't wish teenager on my worst enemy. Mm-hmm. I don't wish middle school and high school on my worst enemy because it's really rough, especially for the majority of kids, right? But to your point, the bullying on the internet has just been allowed until recently, where we started talking about social media and all that kind of stuff. But the idea that like the internet is still so much of the wild, wild west. The idea that you're seeing something and you're like, oh, I can take this and I can make it a joke.
Yeah.
And instead of thinking about the person behind the material, because I guess the point is you're putting yourself out there, so it's all fair game. But lest you remind us, she was a 13-year-old kid, and the world was just like, yeah, we're going to make all the fun of you, and you can do nothing about it. It's kind of
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I will call myself out here. I sometimes, you know, will go back and forth with somebody on Twitter, and then you go to their page, and you're like, you're a 10-year-old. You're a child. Literally, you're a child. Like, and they'll be in your mentions like, yeah, you bald-headed bitch.
I love that everyone thinks that like they're going to come for you and you're going to be like, oh my God, my feelings. And you're like, I actively chose to shave my head, asshole.
This was a personal choice. Like at some point, it's so funny. It happens to me all the time. And it's not even just the bald thing. Like they just start listing facts about me. They're like, yeah, that's why you ain't got a man. And that's why you live alone in a big ass apartment with all that paint on the walls. You got a little dog with a weird looking mouth. I'm like, yes, all of this is true. Like
I'm dying.
My feelings are not hurt by any of this.
You're like, but thank you for like breaking down my identity. Thanks. Appreciate it. It's so dumb.
It's so funny. But I was going to say, we are on the internet with children and it's really easy to forget that. And not that bullying should ever be okay. Right. Like, you know, an adult can get the smoke absolutely deserve it. But you forget, again, and I forget sometimes, that kids are using the internet. And this is a really pivotal time where they are so easily influenced and can have these experiences that go on to like fuck them up for the rest of their lives, you know? And like, just to think about Rebecca Black, again, I'm so glad I've never been in that situation, but I've had my own taste of negativity on the internet as an adult that fucked me up. To think about being a child and watching late night shows and everyone's making fun of you, like grown ass adults are making fun of you. It's just, it's just bonkers. I can't imagine having like the self-confidence to say like, fuck that, I'm going to come back anyway.
Yeah. You know, that this is like a really great example of a glow up friend. She really did. She came back and was like, you know what? I've built myself back up and, you know, here's more music.
Hell yeah. What's your glow up?
Yeah. So mine is actually, I was a huge SWV fan.
Same.
Okay. I'm so into you.
I'm so into, and then I get so weak in the knees.
The jams, the jams. Yes. So I was also a big Escape fan. So for the Gen Zers listening or anybody who don't know these groups, SWV and Escape were two girl bands. It's so weird to call them girls.
Bands,
but
yeah.
Two bands in the 90s that were huge. And I think they respectively broke up in like 98 and 99. But they have a new reality show on Bravo called Queens of R&B.
Oh my God.
You, friend, you know I don't watch reality TV like that. I don't.
I have such conflicting feelings about the fact that like you get to a place in your career where like reality show is just like what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, but like I think they're my glow up because like they'd broken up and they were all doing their own thing. And then they both respectively got back together as groups and started touring together. And the whole premise of the show is, okay, they did a versus, one of those versus rap battles, versus battles, and it went really well. The internet imploded and were like, oh my God, come back. So then they started thinking about getting a tour together. And the premise of the show is the tour going to happen? So it's a big question, which I think is really well marketed and really well
produced. So smart, because then when they eventually go on tour, they've done all the marketing for it.
I'm going. So,
I mean, look, I will go with you. I mean, it's a Let Me Fix It field trip.
Okay. But to your point about like at some point your career just goes the way of like needing to do a reality show to defibrillate it. I think this is actually well placed. I think it's smart of them to do it this way.
Yeah, I really think the like road to the tour angle is really smart. I would rather see a reality show where it's about your talent and your work versus a reality show where you're like going out to dinner and like
or like randomly, oh, what are you doing here? And your best friend happens to be at the same bar. Like, you really think that I'm going to accept this premise?
I hate it. I hate how on every reality show, they're like, me and so-and-so have beef, so we're going to go to dinner to talk about it. It's like, no, that's not how it fucking happens. If you don't like the person, we're not going to go to a restaurant to talk about
it. Also, like, you sidebar with them. You don't go somewhere in public to talk about it.
No, we're going to go to a restaurant and I have like a full face of makeup on and a fucking evening gown. It's like 3 o'clock on a Thursday.
All right. And I'm moving food around on the plate because I'm not eating. Right.
And then they have to do the confessionals where they're like, in this moment, I was feeling like this. Like, none of it's real.
It's so fake and produced. But we just go along with the premise, which I think is also crazy. The other thing I want to say,
this is about their talent and this is about like their career. And I know some clips, I've seen some clips going viral because the Escape girls have a lot of drama like money and
people stealing money and people's husbands influencing things. Mm-hmm. And here's why I'm about it. It's because like it's giving Behind the Music, which for those of you who, you know, back when VH1 and MTV used to play music videos, Behind the Music was this documentary TV show that gave you a little bit of a glimpse behind the artist, behind the big acts. So it's giving Behind the Music meets kind of the Real Housewives drama, because you're getting the history, you're getting all of the, and some, like two of the Escape Girls are sisters, so you're getting that family drama. It's really, really interesting. And I think you might, give it a watch. It kind of sucked me in.
Look at you convincing me to watch a reality show. Okay. I'm going to try it.
You know what? So we want to hear from you. Who else do you think deserves a biopic? And I hope you're not calling it a biopic, because if you learned nothing during this episode, it's a biopic. Also, what did you think of our casting choices?
Or maybe you would like to suggest a TV show, a celebrity, or a brand that we should fix in a future episode. Hit us up on Instagram at FixItPod.
And as always, thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to give us a rating on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, I'm DeLon.
And I'm Francesca. And this was
Let Me
Fix It.
That stays.